Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Drummond. What a great reminder. Hey, somebody ought to say amen. Lord, just join me for just a second as we move to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. If it is not in God's word, it does not deserve to be heard. Friendly fire. And I think we're going to acknowledge what is shared. God wants a great thing for your life. God wants a great thing for my life. God wants to bless us all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Simply want to read just the last few verses of that. Want to put your mind and understanding in where we're going. The Bible says, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they may be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I want to entitle this message, A Strong Deception. Early on the morning of September 11th, 2001, 19 hijackers took control of four commercial airlines en route to San Francisco and Los Angeles from Boston, Newark, and Washington, D.C. At 8:46, stay with me now, a.m., American Airlines Flight 11 was crashed into the World Trade Center's North Tower, followed by United Airlines Flight 175, which hit the South Tower at 9:03 a.m. Another group of hijackers flew American Airlines Flight 77 into the Pentagon at 9:37 a.m. A fourth flight, United Airlines Flight 93, crashed into Shankville, Pennsylvania at 10:03 a.m. After the passengers on board engaged in a fight with the hijackers, its ultimate target was thought to be either the Capitol, the meeting place of the United States Congress, or the White House. During the hijacking of the airplanes, the hijackers used weapons to stab and kill aircraft pilots, flight attendants, and passengers. Reports from the phone callers from the planes indicated that the knives were used by the hijackers to stab attendants, and at least one case, a passenger during two of the hijackings, some passengers were able to make phone calls using the cabin air phone service and mobile phones, and provided details, including the several hijackers were aboard each plane, that mace or other form of noxious chemical spray, such as tear gas or pepper spray, was used, and that some people aboard had been stabbed. Listen to this. The 9/11 Commission established that two of the hijackers had recently purchased a multifunction hand tool. A flight attendant on Flight 11, a passenger on Flight 175, and a passenger on Flight 93 mentioned that the hijackers had bombs. But one of the passengers also mentioned he thought the bombs were fake. No traces of explosives were found at the crash site. And the 9/11 Commission believed the bombs, most of them were fake. On United Airlines Flight 93, the black box, recordings reveal the crew and passengers attempted to seize control of the plane from the hijackers after learning through phone calls that similar hijacked planes had been crashed into buildings that morning. According to the transcripts of Flight 93's recorder, one of the hijackers gave the order to roll the plane once it became evident that they would not hit their target. Soon afterwards, the aircraft crashed into a field in Pennsylvania, 10:03 a.m. Three buildings in the World Trade Center complex collapsed due to structural failure on that day of the attack. The South Tower fell at approximately 9:59 a.m. after burning for 56 minutes and a fire caused by the impact of the United Airlines flight. The North Tower collapsed at 10:28 a.m. after burning for approximately 102 minutes. When the North Tower collapsed, debris that fell on the nearby World Trade Center building damaged it and initiated the fires. These fires burned for hours and compromised the building's structural integrity, which led to the crumbling of the East Penthouse at 5:20 p.m. and to the complete collapse of the building. When it all was said and done, 2,496 individuals, including 19 hijackers, were killed. When you look at this text, we understand, and as you look back at history, we understand that this is a very eye-opening situation. Jesus is coming soon, and so many of us are wrapped up in the love of the world and the things that are in the world. 1 John, I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says here, listen to this. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Part of the issue is we can't let go of those sins and those issues that have caused us to be separated from God. And because of that, the Bible says God has sent us a strong delusion that we should believe a lie. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. The Bible says, for the time will come, listen to this, when they will not endure sound doctrine. What motivated these hijackers to get into that plane? Had no regard for life, no regard for any individuals, not even themselves. They were concerned about their goals, their sins, their issues. They decided it didn't matter who they would kill, 2,496 individuals, because of their own selfishness and their own sinful desires. For the Bible says, for that time will come when they will not endure, listen to this, sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Men and women turned away from God's message, God's cry for mercy. It's a fearful thing, ladies and gentlemen, to treat lightly the word of God. We cannot reject the warnings of God. Come on now. That God sends us. A message was sent in Noah's day. And the salvation of mankind depended upon how they would respond to what God sent. But as you know, it was only Noah and his family that were saved. The message went out. God said, repent. It is time to get your life right with me. If you cannot see the signs of the time, if you cannot see the economic distress and depression that we are in, if you cannot see the issues that we are facing emotionally and psychologically, if you cannot see all the issues that are going on around us and you're still deciding and determined to follow the devil, there's something wrong. You're just like those hijackers who presented themselves to not just kill others, but they killed themselves. The Bible says that God will send them a strong delusion that text. God will allow them because they're so focused in their own sins. Because they're saying, well, you know, I'm not sure that, is this God's will? Because they're not reading God's word. And they begin to believe a lie. There is something about understanding that, yes, we are living in the time of the end. Jesus is about to come. And we're still focused. And God has given us so many signs. The Bible says it is high time that we wake up out of sleep. Shake the person next to you. For your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. What is it going to take for God to wake you up? Pastor Drummond used the illustration that even in Lot's day, when the angels came, they wanted to stay in Sodom. But by God's grace, God grabbed them by their hands and pulled them out. But still, Lot's wife decided to turn back. And the Bible says he turned into a pillar of salt. How many of us are crawling away from our sins, hoping that it's going to catch us? God is serious about your salvation, but we're not serious about our own salvation. So we play church. We come when we want to. When I was coming up, I want you to understand that in the culture of when I was coming up in this message, church was not something that I just did on the weekends. Church was a part of my life. But we have gotten away from what is important as it relates to positioning ourselves in the house of God. And then we say, well, I don't want my children to have to be dragged. What was wrong with you? I don't want my children to be have to drag. I don't want to bring them like, but you know what? God blessed you. We got to get back to understanding, and I'm not going to say the old time religion, but I'm saying we've got to get back to being in God's word. It's high time. We have to be serious about our walk with God. I told you on last week that we have to be men and women of the word. We have to seriously ask God to help us in our situations. We've got to stop playing church. But we've got to be serious about your walk with God. I don't know what God has to do to let you know that we're living in the time of the end. I don't know what he has to do. But if you can't see that right now we're in economic distress, if you can't see that folks are losing their homes and losing their jobs, and the government can't do anything about it, if you can't see that churches are emptying out, if you can't see that people are killing and murdering each other, when a young man can murder a 17-year-old little girl who's pregnant in Fontana. He is a child himself. What does it take for another young person to kill another and have no remorse and hide her in a garbage can out in the landfill? What does it motivate someone to do that? What is the problem that's going on with many of us? We're playing church. Church has no longer become a part of our lives. It's just what we do on the weekends. But we're losing our connection with God. Let me suggest to you, as I get ready to close, let me suggest to you that if you don't turn this situation around, it's going to cost you more than you ever think. There's got to be a point where you say enough is enough. Hold on for 1 second before you start playing. I want to, you can come, but I want you to hold on 1 second. There's got to be a point that you begin to address your issues and let God turn around your life. There's got to be a point where you say, I am no longer going to be that kind of person that plays around with church, that plays with my life, that's always walking around defeated. You have got to take control of your life through Jesus Christ. I start off the illustration with those hijackers. Number one, because it is September, in remembrance of what took place in 9/11 9 years ago. But also, I wanted you to see the insidious motivation and issues of those hijackers. And how they calculated to destroy the lie. What went on in their minds? Some said that they were promised so many women at death. How many? 14. Oh, you see, they were promised all these different women, all this stuff to destroy somebody else's life. America, their enemy, the beast. It's important for you, it's important for me to begin to prioritize my life. I've shared this with you before. Your habits form your character, and that is who you are. You have to ask God to begin to change your habits. You need to ask God to change your character. You really have to take control of your life. And by doing that, you're going to be able to see some visible changes around you. But you've got to start today. You've got to be serious about your walk with God. Because I want you to know something. You're in a small vacuum, so you only see maybe those things around you. But I'm having people all around me who are excited about their Christian walk with God. I met a lady who goes to a church out in Ontario. What's the name of that church, honey? Do you remember the name of that church? Anyways, it's a church, and it's a very nice church out there in Ontario. She began to share with me. I'm not sure how committed her walk with God is, first of all. She began to share with me. She lives in L.A., but she moved to be closer to her church. She took a job to be closer to her church because she said to me that I have an opportunity to, and she's not paid by the church, but she wanted to be involved in the ministry, and she felt that was her calling. I'm going to share something with you. We talked about years ago that there'll be other people who will come take your place. You're going to play too long, and you think because you've been brought up in this thing or you've been walking around everything, there will be people who will be coming in and who are going to be serious about their walk with God. And what's going to happen is what they call the latter rain, the shaking. And some of us are going to be shaking right out of this message. I think we need to begin to be serious. And I'm not, you know, I love each and every one of you all, but I think it's a point where we have to understand that God wants to move us to the next level in our lives. And it's got to be a point where we say, God, you know what? I want to be serious when it comes to the things as it relates to you. And watch this. When you are serious about God's business, everything else in your life will change. Yes, sir. God will breathe his breath of success on what you do, on your marriage, on your finances, in your jobs. It all works together. It's a connection. It is a connection. But what God asks you to do is to be faithful. The Bible says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. Let us pray as we bow our heads. Our Father and our God, we're just so grateful and thankful for your love. We're so thankful that the reminder that Pastor Drummond shared with us, oh God, that, Lord, we've got to be serious about our walk with you. We're so thankful for the reminder that you gave us. Yes, Lord, this is a rough time for many, many individuals who lost family members during this time, on this day, when they got the call on their jobs or they got the call at home and their family members were on that United or American Airlines flight or they were in the towers, oh God. There were many of people who lost their lives on that day, 9 years ago. But I'm so glad that today you've given each and every one of us an opportunity to give our lives to you. And so today I'm going to ask, oh God, that man, that woman, that boy and that girl under the sound of my voice, if you want to give your life completely to Jesus Christ and you want God to recognize it in the book of life, I want to invite you to stand with me as I end up this prayer. Just stand if that is for you. Just stand that if you want to give your life to Him completely. Those that are standing right now, God, I ask you to seal them with the seal of the living God. I ask you to pour upon those that are standing, oh God, the latter rain upon their lives. I ask you to pour out your blessings in copious fashions, oh God. On this day, that man, that woman, that boy, and that girl that is standing, oh God, they need you like they've never needed you before. I pray that you will send your spirit to seal us and to keep us until that day that you shall come in the clouds of glory. Lord, I pray that not only will I be saved, but along with my family and those who are committed to follow you, I pray, oh God, that you will begin a new ministry in our lives. Not worrying about the former things, oh God, that which is behind us. I pray, oh God, that you'll cover up the tracks of our past. And then, Lord, give us a bright and new future in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for victories. I pray for power. I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. I pray for renewal right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for all those that are standing. God bless them. God anoint them. God pour your love on them, oh God. Give them what they need right now in Jesus' name. We're going to trust you, God. Thank you as we reach out our hands and we receive your blessings right now. Yes, you can reach out your hands right now and receive God's blessing. Open up your hands and receive God's blessing for what God will do for you right now at this moment. Is powerful. Thank you for your healing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.